fucking dude! What a play call!
You're listening to the best of the Commanders.
And it is good! Washington wins!
A weekly mix of 106.7 The Fan and 980 The Team's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Yesterday, Adam Peters and Dan Quinn had a press conference. We basically had a preview here as Cakes filled the role of Adam Peters and Dan Quinn.
Pretty close to what they actually said in real life, I would say.
Mm-hmm. We knew that they weren't going to try and upset Terry McLaurin. We're going to play a couple of the clips and we can
I think he's plenty upset
go
already.
Through here. Here's what Adam Peters said about Terry's value in trying to get the deal done.
I mean, first, I think... Yeah, without a doubt, I think everybody in this building values Terry very much. And we knew that coming in, and we knew that even more after spending a year with him. In terms of where we're at, we've had conversations recently, and we'll look to have some more conversations. And we're going to do everything we can in order to get a deal done.
I mean, to buy into that?
I mean
it's very general.
The only newsworthy thing is that they've had recent conversations.
Yeah that
everything
is
else is...
I mean, that could mean the last 24 hours. It could mean the last 72 hours. We have no idea.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, that's something, but yeah. It, that means nothing. Like, there's nothing else.
Right. Well, but, I mean, the fact that he said we're trying to get something done. I mean, they are trying to work it out.
Yeah, they didn't. He could have, if you wanted him to go the bad PR route, he could have said he's under contract. We expect him to be here.
He did say that at some point. Yeah, it did say we expect all players to be here.
But he did lead with, we value him.
Yeah. I mean, he understands the business.
And that they had conversations. I felt like the ball was advanced a little bit there because at Eastern Motors, Terry said they hadn't spoken in a month.
Well, you got to articulate whether or not you're going to be there. I don't know.
And who knows how much they've actually spoken since then.
It didn't say much to me. Listen, I hope they resolve it today. Yeah. But I just have no idea.
Let's talk about the timeline. This is Adam Peters commenting on when they need to get a deal done.
Yeah, I think, those were, I wasn't so much directly involved, but I was a part of it. So I understood how it went and, a lot of contract. But I think that's just kind of the nature of our business. You know, you would like to get these things done quicker than longer, but... it's not always going to happen that way. So I think for me, just seeing those things secondhand, really not firsthand, but understanding how that went, just understanding that, first of all, we're dealing with a really, in the case of Terry, a really good player and a really good person. So really understanding that and never losing sight of that and making sure that, every conversation we have is very, straightforward, honest, and in good faith, and just keeping that mindset throughout, because there's going to be twists and turns, but just having that confidence and just understanding that our goal is to get a long-term deal done, and so just keeping focused on that, and whatever happens along the way, just understand that he's a great player and we want to keep him here.
A lot of Terry butt-kissing and ego-stroking happening in those pressers.
But he didn't sound super enthusiastic. I don't know. When I saw the video, I thought, and obviously I expect you guys to take this with a grain of salt, but I thought Peters looked comfortable in his own skin. I thought Dan Quinn looked uncomfortable. He had the crossed arms, the clip that I saw, and it just looked like, yeah, he did. This is not great.
Mm.
I just didn't like the body language from Quinn. No, not in a negative way towards anything, just other than it's an awkward situation. I don't think Coach Quinn likes it.
Yeah, he wants to have one of his premier players in training camp.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's frustrated.
Yeah, I'm sure
the fact that Terry's not there.
So the last thing they want to do is that presser.
Right.
But I think with Peters, and what he was alluding to is he wasn't the lead guy in previous holdouts at previous organizations. Mm-hmm. He's comfortable in this.
Yeah. He looks comfortable to me.
He's been through it. It's standard operating procedure for him.
It's just part of the business.
Kime made a good point. I was listening to his most recent pod talking about Terry being an official holdout. And obviously, we all know the details, but he kind of articulated it in a little bit better, I thought. So we all know that Terry's going to turn 30. and that he's under contract for this year. But he actually took it that step further and just kind of just pointed out that what this contract extension will be for his 31st year. So it's not for his 30th year. It's for his 31st year. Yeah. For his 32nd year, maybe even 33rd year. So it's not like they're talking about paying him at 30. He's already going to get paid at 30. Yeah. They're talking about paying him at 31, 32. Yeah. And I think he's going to be very productive, but it just adds another year to it. And it just makes you a little bit more sympathetic to the bind that the organization is in.
So adding another year to it, that's definitely a factor in terms of the contract. We've speculated for a long time. Maybe Terry wants 4 years. They only need to give him 2 years. Maybe Terry wants this money. They want to give him that money. Here's what Peter said about some of the factors involved.
Yeah, that's always probably the tricky part of any negotiation is figuring all that out. And, in terms of understanding the market, understanding our team, understanding, our financial situation and all that, but, I don't think I've been a part of a negotiation where it's been really linear and smooth and everything like that. But I think, understanding where they're at and understanding where we're at and trying to close that gap and come into something is really the kind of all the nuance of it and staying really above board and negotiating in good faith. All those things come together and that's how you come to a deal. So, as long as it fits in the construct of what you want to do and how you want to build it and what the player would, Terry in this instance, is, comfortable with. So that's what we're working towards and we're having some good conversations and we'll continue to.
All right.
You got to be positive that you say that's what we're working towards.
I like you said we're having some good conversations.
Good conversations.
I like that. That's the first thing that I like.
The other thing is that, and as he's talked about yesterday, he's been through this before as an assistant GM, but he's been through the negotiation part of it.
Yeah, I mean, been in the business a long time.
Yeah, with a bunch of players. So he knows the business. He knows this takes time. He sounds positive to me.
I'll tell you what I'm not positive about. My July 30th prediction date as to the end of the holdout. I'm feeling like
that's okay. I think that might be okay. The week is okay.
I'm starting to feel like it's going to be mid to late August.
I mean, somehow I didn't think I predicted August 16th, though that's what's in the book. I'm kind of feeling good about that one at this point. Like August 8th through the 16th might be the sweet spot.
I could see him signing after all the preseason games are over.
Ooh.
So with 2 weeks left for the season.
That's Tim racking up a lot of fines if that's the case.
Terry's resolute, but he's also not dumb. And if he's looking at, $60, $70 million, is he going to really want to hold out for another three or four or whatever, 80, whatever the number is? You got to, at some point, you got to do the math. All right, am I going to hold out here for another 3 weeks to maybe try to get another $3 million? It's going to cost me $50,000. I'm missing practice. At some point, Terry's going to, he's going to have to eat a little bit.
Yeah.
He might just have a minimum, though. He might feel like, hey, Amon-Ra signed last year. I should make at least what he makes.
I have no doubt that he has a minimum.
So he might just be waiting for that.
I have no doubt. But sometimes you don't get the minimum that you want.
But like Eric's saying, do you want to sacrifice, a few hundred thousand to a couple million in fines?
In the uncertainty
not
that you might not even get
what you're going to get.
Yeah. So at some point you look at it and you go, right, this is disappointing to me, but at the end of the day, when I take a step back and I talk to my parents and I talk to my wife and I talk to my pastor, all right, they're giving me $75 million guaranteed. It's not what I want, but it's up from the 60 they originally offered. It's not the 90 that I wanted, but you know what? This is generational money here. I'm not going to embarrass my family. I'm gonna cut.
If you get 75,
whatever the number is,
to $80 million guaranteed, his great grandkids are taken care of.
Yeah, I mean, at some point he's gonna say,
I mean, come on.
You know what? It's not what
I
want.
It's stupid money,
but it's beyond what I need, and I just want to play football and be with my boys. At some point he's gonna reach that threshold. I think.
Hopefully it's within the next week.
I think. And that's what I think probably with the team's banking on, too.
Well, but a lot of us didn't think it was going to get to this point.
Totally. Because I don't think they're anywhere close to that yet.
My original prediction was July 6th, because that's what happened a few years ago.
I thought he might miss a couple days.
Well, I guarantee that they've done the math. He and Buddy Baker, they've done the math and said, all right, what's our limit in fines? What are we willing to just sit out for? I mean,
Yeah.
Is it 150 grand? Is it 200 grand? Is it 300 grand?
Right, but you just don't know how much more the team's going to budge.
It's true.
They actually don't have to budge.
They're going to get to 150 grand tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right? Because 50K yesterday, another 50K today if he doesn't sign.
Yeah. Like, that what were you going to say, quick. Matt? You seem like you wanted to say
I was just going to say, well, that's what the Commanders aren't going to pay. That doesn't mean another team isn't willing to pay that for Terry.
Fair, but he would have to wait a year. But the thing is, I don't even think he'll be there because I do think they would franchise him over letting him walk for nothing or some minimum compensation. I think.
Well, then he'll.
I don't, I don't know.
What is that, 40 million? Was it franchise number 40 million?
No, 30.
Oh,
it's 30? 30.
30 point something.
Oh, it's 30 and a half? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Looking at the practical guarantees of some of the guys who signed recently, and I mean like in the last year, 18 months, Ayuk got $76 million. Jalen Waddle got $76 million. Amon Ross, $77 million. DJ Moore, $81 million. Mm-hmm. Like if I'm Terry, I feel like I have to be close to that neighborhood.
It has to be in that realm.
And I understand a lot of those guys are younger than him. And that's, I think the,
that's the difference.
It's really working against him.
That's the difference.
Yeah, they're all younger.
Yeah.
But like he's looking for big guarantees.
But I do think at some point he's going to say, all right, I just want to play football. I want to be with my guys. And this is a lot of money. I think. Maybe I'm wrong.
Could have approached it differently. You know, we were talking about this during a break. ESPN seems to have wall-to-wall Cowboys coverage yesterday. A lot of news about Jerry Jones today. A lot of Micah Parsons stuff. Micah Parsons... final year of his deal, they've been negotiating that deal publicly, it seems like, for months, and yet he shows up to camp.
Mm-hmm. Well, he shows up to camp because he's on a rookie deal, and he gets the $50,000 is going to hurt him more than it's going to hurt Terry.
Right.
Which Parsons is probably making $4 or $5 million a year.
And I honestly can't remember.
His deal this year is like 20, I think it spikes 17,
that's the,
20
that's because they
24.
Picked up the 50.
Yeah. I can't.
But what I'm saying is, it's a smaller contract versus what Terry was making.
Right. Who's the last Cowboy stud that Jerry hasn't ultimately caved and paid? Like he pays them all.
I mean, he paid Dak, he paid CeeDee Lamb, he paid Zeke when he was there. I mean,
if there's one guy you're going to pay, it's Micah Parsons.
100%. He's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, he's going
to a lesser extent. He paid Michael Gallup when he was up for a deal.
Yeah. All right, let's go real quick. Let's go to Mark and Largo. This will be some weird take. Mark, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, Mark?
Weird take, huh?
What's up?
I hear you, Eric. Look, here's the deal. This is on Adam Peters, and I'm going to tell you why I say this is on Adam Peters. Scary Terry wanted – I mean, when he got here last year, in January of last year, he knew Terry McLaurin wanted a contract deal. Okay. You didn't want to deal with it then. You could have signed him at a cheaper rate then. Could have got him – I mean, you really could have did this a lot better than what you did last year. You would have got him last year.
You think they were going to give him a new deal 2 years in advance? I doubt it.
You gave him a new deal this time last year. This time last year, you could have gave him a new deal. Then he didn't want to do it. Wait till the end of the season. You could have got it done right after the NFC title game when they got stomped in Philly. Could have got that done. Didn't want to do that. Now look at where we're at. So here's my thing to everybody here. What's the difference between what Adam Peters is doing and what Jerry Jones has done? See, he waited too long for Terry, and Terry is a core player. And look at where you are now. Meanwhile, he's gone out and made trades with Tunsil to get Tunsil. He's gone out and got Deebo Samuel. He's gone out and got Marshawn Lattimore. You could have had all this stuff done last year before all this. Now you look at what's going on, and now you got to pay what everybody else. And the same thing the media – attacks Jerry Jones, and I don't like Jerry Jones. It's the same thing happening here, and he's a core player. And what makes it bad for Adam is, you know, if you're doing this to him, now, I don't think he'll do this to Jaden, but who's to say he won't do this to Mikey Sanderson? Who's to say he won't do this to Newton?
Well, you want him to be financially responsible, too. You want to give him the leeway to do his job.
And that's fine, but you got to get ahead of the game. You are the property manager of a property.
Listen, Terry, okay? I don't think Terry would have agreed to a deal necessarily last year. He had to have a monster year to put him in this discussion.
Yeah. And he wants to see how the market rises.
Okay, fine. Then you know what he needs to do now? He needs to get on the phone and call Terry right now and have lunch or dinner with him.
Yeah,
now.
Hey,
Mark,
exactly.
I got a question. Mark, you fascinate me. Your confidence is remarkable. What do you do for a living?
I'm in the IT field, bro.
You're in IT.
I actually was thinking about that too.
His confidence. We can make fun of him. We can hang up on him.
Yeah, he
comes to the phone with confidence.
I'm glad you asked because I was thinking about this because last week I was driving around and Mark had called into our show in the morning.
Yeah.
I'm driving around and I think I heard him call Chris Russell.
Oh no, he calls everybody. I get it.
I was like, what is he doing?
No, but he just got confidence.
When you work from home, you can do stuff like that.
Even if his takes are absurd. He's got a confidence to him.
It doesn't mean he's right most of the time, but he's got confidence.
When you get to 55, if you don't have confidence at 55, you just never going
to
have.
Where'd you go to high school, Mark? Where'd you go to high school?
Unfortunately, I went to Mackin, which at the same time, which is now classified with Carroll, which I know there's two people up there who were with the Mathis Stags, and that's probably not a good thing, too. So
that's fine. Yeah, it's all good.
It's different for you. If I would have went to Carroll from the beginning, I probably would have played football up there, unlike some people who probably should have played basketball at the Mathis, but someone didn't play basketball at the Mathis being a 6'5". But we ain't going to talk about that.
All right, Mark, God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
I got confused at the end. Who was supposed to play basketball?
I don't know. I couldn't follow along.
I am always stunned by his confidence.
Basically, he wanted Terry to come back to the table with 3 years left on his deal and have his deal reworked.
Oh yeah.
Like, I mean, when is a right time to extend Terry? I think when he was approached by it this offseason, this is the right time to do it. It wasn't a year and a half ago. Like, this is the proper window.
But we don't know what the
deal.
Yeah, I was gonna say we don't know what the conversations were like 6 months ago.
Yeah.
I think also
he
had to prove himself to an extent to Quinn and Peters that he was a number one receiver.
Right.
And
because the conversation before last season was Terry doesn't catch enough touchdowns. Terry's not in the same class as some of these top receivers. And maybe still people don't put him up there with Jefferson or Chase. But he moved up the rankings for sure.
And my argument all along for Terry is his numbers would be 25% higher, if not higher, if he had real legitimate quarterbacks throwing to him from his rookie season.
Yeah, yeah.
Which he hasn't had.
All right, let's go to Shane in D.C. Shane, what's up, man? Go with the Junks.
What's up, Junks? Hey, it's good to be home, man. Hey, look, here's the thing. Maybe Adam Peters don't think he's really that good and plus he's a number two receiver. Maybe he don't want to give a 30-year-old receiver that is probably a number two on every. I can name 15 receivers. I love Terry, but I can name 15 receivers right now better than the league than Terry.
I don't know if you can name 15. You might be able to name 10 or 12, but I don't know if you can name 15.
Okay. So you're going to give you just made my point. So what, three spots? You're going to give a 30-year-old receiver, $35 million, say, that's what he's asking. We'll say decline at 30 years old. All receivers look in the league. They start declining at 30.
So what's your suggestion? I'm curious. What is your suggestion? If you're Adam Peters, you don't want to give him $35
million.
Shane,
I don't think anybody agrees that he should get $35
million. No, I don't even think he's asking for $35 million.
We have no idea. But
here's what I would do. I mean, I don't know. But what I would do is that if he's not in camp, I just went through this with Nico at University of Tennessee. So here's what you do. You got to go in there. Nobody's bigger than the team, right? So we need to you don't want to hurt this team going forward. We got to rebuild a defense. You got other players we got to sign. You've got a toy. You're playing a, my opinion, a slot receiver, a toy, which Debo
is way more than a slot receiver.
He had 13 touchdowns last year.
Do you not remember the deep balls that he caught?
He's not a slot receiver.
His numbers are.
No, I'm talking about Debo.
I'm sorry.
So, yeah, you got Debo making 21, which is, I think, is don't get me started on that. But, no, we cannot hinder this team going forward.
So what would you do? Just not pay him, let him sit out, or just force him, whatever?
He's making
I would start calling Buffalo. I would start Kansas City. And start looking.
And what do you want in return?
You get two number ones.
You're not getting two, Shane. You fell out of bed and hit your head hard. You're not going to get two number one picks for him. Are you crazy?
You wouldn't get one number one pick for Terry McLaurin.
What are these people thinking?
Yeah.
There's just no common sense out there.
He's like a slot receiver, but I want 2 ones for him.
I got confused. I guess he was talking about Debo.
I heard that too.
It doesn't matter who he's talking about. He's got no common sense.
He wasn't even top 15.
Oh, my God, these people.
Jason's already at his wit's end.
Terry Terry McLaurin is
because they make no sense.
He's making 22.7 this year. So like him asking for over 30 isn't a crazy ask in the market that he's in right now.
And also I'm not going to entertain this idea that he's not a number one.
It's nonsense.
I'm not entertaining that discussion anymore. If you want to say he's on the bottom half, okay, fine. You can have that opinion, but you're not allowed to have the opinion on this show that he's not a true number one.
1-800-636-1067 is the number if you want to chime in. We're the Junkies. Coming right back. B, you remember this song? Damn, dude. You can be cut if you handle a football like that. Can't get your headphones on.
Yeah, but see, I don't get cut off of this. That song, yeah, I've heard that before.
No Rain by Blind Melon.
Yeah, couldn't tell you the name of it.
It's a good tune, though.
Heard it when I was going down the elevator one time.
That's kind of weird.
Elevator music.
dude, I want to get to this Lewis Riddick thing, but I did want to ask you. Did you see the catch Jacob Young made in center field for the Nats?
No.
Jeff, see if you can drop that in the text thread, the Jacob Young catch. It is, legitimately one of the best catches I've ever seen.
He may get him an ESPY.
Maybe. I think Jacob Young won a gold glove. I love when dudes can go like deep center field catches like that. You remember my man Otis Nixon? I think he played for the Braves way back. He had one of just the all-time awesome catches. Who was it for the Mets that had one in an NLCS game? Andy Chavez, I want to say. Like really memorable catches like that. I love that stuff. Jeff, drop that in for B to watch, and we'll get a live reaction. Or maybe I might be able to find it faster than Jeff. I just watched the Otis Nixon catch from, I think that was in like the NLCS against the Pirates. Jacob Young, it's just bananas, B. You're going to enjoy it. I'll work on finding it. Okay, it's in the chat, B. Open that joint up. This is Jacob Young for the Nats yesterday in that day game. Tell us when you got it.
All right. I got to go to it now. I was answering a Richmond call.
What? Candy Crush?
No, I was answering an email. Oh, man, I'm just looking at it. It's still right now.
Yeah, like where he is? Yeah. Like his arm is the equivalent of like
that was hit. That
his
was
head
hit.
Over the rim.
Oh, that was sweet.
Dude, I mean.
That was sweet. And it got that little step.
Yeah.
And look, the guy.
I love how his shirt got untucked.
Like, oh! Yeah.
I love how his shirt got untucked from jumping up on the wall like that. Also, this Reds hitter mashed that ball, dude.
Oh, he did.
I mean, that is deep center, almost to the bullpen.
That's some great awareness to be able to be running and put that foot and go up at the same time.
I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
Nats also won a game, which is also cool. They're still 20 games under 500.
They won a few of them in that series, didn't they? I think they won the other night. Then they lost, I think.
They've won.
Yes, they lost. They lost one.
They lost yesterday.
They won like two of them.
They took two out of three. They won the series. Yeah. They day off today, and I think they start in Minnesota tomorrow. All right. I did want to play this because I think of a lot of the national kind of analyst pundits, I think Lewis Riddick, because he once worked here, I feel like Riddick tends to be pretty pro-Burgundy and gold. A lot of guys aren't. I think he is, though. And so this stood out to me the other day. I'll be honest, I don't know what show this was from, but it was from one of the ESPN shows. And Lewis Riddick talking about...
Yeah, they cut off Stephen A. at the end. That was good.
Yeah. And Stephen A.'s too busy planning his stadium in Laurel. But this is Lewis Riddick, a guy I respect. I think he has good football opinions on the Terry McLaurin situation.
I know we've differed on this, in talking about this earlier today, but I'll tell you this. I'm a 10 out of 10 concerned. Because every day matters, regardless of the fact that I know it's late July. Terry is a great pro. He's played a lot of football. They don't play football until September. I know that's always the very, the very common response to this kind of thing. And then, some are going to say, and I know I'm already jumping ahead of Kimberly, so I'm going to get out ahead of some of her arguments right now. And look, Terry wants to be there. He's a guy who's going to be on the wrong side of 30, so to speak. There's a lot of reasons as to why maybe Washington is taking their time. But look, if you want to guard against making sure that the guy who basically has resurrected your franchise and made this city and this region, the DMV, as excited as it has been in the past 30 years, and that being Jaden Daniels, if you want to make sure that you safeguard that trajectory that he is on and keep it going the way it's going, then you need to make sure that every day that he can spend with Terry McLaurin, he spends with Terry McLaurin in a football setting in your building. And you shouldn't be haggling over, well, you know what? How much longer will Terry play at this level? How much nickel and dime them to the point where the guy is not in camp and he's not practicing? This is another one of those things that should be done. And look, they have done everything right. Every move they've made has been a absolute like hit out of the park. And I believe this team will be right there in contention. And I'm not one of those teams, rather one of those people who believes that there's an automatic sophomore slump because people get film on you and people understand what you're doing. Mm-hmm. I don't believe in that crap. I don't. And I damn sure don't believe it with Jaden Daniels. But if you keep messing around with the guy who is his dude and you don't allow them to continue to grow, you're playing with fire. Just get him signed.
10 out of 10 for Lewis Riddick. I agreed with everything he said there about the sophomore slump. I don't see it coming.
I agree with a lot of stuff as well, but the thing is, they've done everything right. Who's to assume they're not going to do this one right? I think his concern is more about Jaden's growth being stunted. Okay? And listening to Dan Quinn this morning talk about Jaden, watch Jaden out there. Jaden is going through his process just like he's always done. And I think he would rather have a Terry McLaurin in it, but he's not going to change his process. You know what I mean? So I think Lewis' concern is more about you don't want to stunt the growth of Jaden in no way possible. But I don't believe that they have to just do whatever. Like we stated that yesterday when people say, just give him whatever he wants. That doesn't work for the long haul for everybody. You may have to give him more than you want to give him, but not just whatever he wants. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I understand the aspect of it, and I'm with you. I probably don't listen to most of the people on ESPN because I know that they have a tendency to tell people to take sides just because. I listen to Lewis more than any one of them because I believe, like you state, he has a very, very good football mind. He has very, very good football opinions and things like that. But that argument was more about Jaden than it was getting that deal done. And I don't know if that will stun him that much if Terry is not there for a week or two or three.
I think Jaden, and you know, one of the most fun people I love talking Skins or Commanders football with is Unyang, because she's just such a big fan, and she reacts with the highs and lows. You know what I'm saying?
And she is a true fan. Totally. I've seen her.
She gets animated. She keeps asking me about Terry. And I'm like, listen, yes, it's a concern, but at the same time, this is football. And I think I'm not worried about Jaden's growth getting stunted. I'm really not. I can't imagine you are.
No, I'm not. And I think the ultimate thing about this is, you know, you have to have a concern of what things are going, because I think everything has just been working so smoothly. But it's a little saying that nothing good comes easy, and I totally believe in that. If you want something to be great, which is having Terry come back on his team, and he's going to be a while, you're going to have to stumble a little bit. You're going to have to go through some tough times. And I believe that Josh Harris and this crew wants that to happen. I believe Adam Peters wants it to happen. But I can't just go with fans and people that say, give him whatever he wants. Because if you give him whatever he wants, you may mess up the opportunity of signing somebody else later. And then you're going to say, give that person what he wants. If we give everybody what they want, then you know what? You know, you're not going to end up with anybody. So you have to go through the process to make sure this thing works. Lewis' concern about Jaden, I think, is a good one. But I think, just like he said, he doesn't believe in sophomore slumps, especially when you're talking about Jaden Daniels. So if you don't believe in sophomore slumps, especially when you're talking about Jaden Daniels, then you shouldn't believe that he's going to be stunted like a typical quarterback, because this kid is different. You know, I've been around this league for over 30 years, and I know most people come into the league because of what the league can give them, what they can get from it, the notoriety. Jaden is in this league to win and be the best he can be. Does he indulge in some of the same thing? Yes. But that's not his main goal. You know, I don't see him running around here with that NFL medallion like most guys do as soon as they get drafted and then they stop working. He has worked more and harder this year than he did last year. As he told you last year when, once again, fans were tripping because Dan Quinn hadn't named a starter at quarterback, the young man that we all were pulling for said, if I become the starter, it's not going to stop me from working. I'm going to keep doing what I'm supposed to do. So, in essence, we can't worry about some of those things that we don't have any control over. We have to educate ourselves a little bit more on what's going on with this team. Like, you know, where what's the pro moves? What happens in pro football? This is the business side. So, as fans, I think we need to educate ourselves in that aspect, too, so we can just not be so concerned, so worried about some things. So, as you go forward, and I've said it, I said to JP, I said to anybody I do radio TV with, we're not here just to entertain fans. We're here to also educate. So, let's educate them on the business side so when these things come up, they don't have to be getting their blood pressure going up so high and losing their minds all the time. All right, we're going to take us a quick break here. When we get back, we'll continue on. Coming to you live from training camp, and it's all brought to you by Paul Henry's Window Insulation. But, hey, it's B-Mitch here. If you want comfort and convenience wherever life takes you, you need to turn the Rood. With Wi-Fi compatibility, you have full control of your heating and cooling system right from your phone. Forgot to turn down the heat before vacation? You can adjust it in seconds. Plus, you'll get alerts if something's not right. These guys are the best, and they've installed new systems in my house, and I felt the difference instantly. And here's the best part. Rood systems are whisper quiet. No more noisy interruptions, just peace of mind. Rood's variable speed compressor ensures precise temperature and humidity control, operating efficiently even in extreme conditions. Its comfort and performance, perfectly balanced. Also, don't forget about the savings. You can qualify for federal tax credits up to $2,000 on heat pumps throughout 2032. Visit Rood.com/federal incentives to learn more. Rood, R-U-U-D, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in a DMV. And remember, if it ain't Rood, it ain't right.
No, I certainly don't need to reach out, I mean, to anybody else. And it's part of, you know, the business of the NFL. And, you know, I don't judge it or get too worked up about it. I know Adam and his team, they're working as hard as they can, you know, with Terry. And so the best thing I can do, honestly, in this space is, like, put all the attention and the focus to go doing what it, like, we love them. So I know they're working really hard to go do that. But it's part of the business of our league, and this happens on teams all over. And so the longer you've been in it, the more you recognize that's.
That is Dan Quinn, the head coach of the Washington Commanders. Today, talking Terry McLaurin, his first public comments about the McLaurin holdout. I'll get back to that in just a second. Danny, have you seen the video of the Cleveland Browns unveiling their new helmet today?
No, I just saw the pictures of the new helmet or the new uniform,
so
whatever.
Funny. So the Browns unfurl what is this giant, I'm imagining from here, it's like a big inflatable helmet from like as far away as the camera is that I'm looking at. It looks like a giant inflatable helmet, but they did it like, I just can't watch this without laughing. They did it on a barge. I'm going to show you the video in a second.
Okay.
Okay, and it looks like it's like a stationary dock or something like that. Why it's in the water, I don't know.
It's right there. I mean, you can't avoid the water in Cleveland. It's right there.
Yes, but this is not like on the side of the water, on land. This is in the water on a little island dock that they are on for this unveiling of this helmet, okay? So it's a huge inflatable helmet. By the way, I think it looks terrible. What do you think of that helmet? It's a ugly, terrible colored brown with like an orange stripe. I think it's an awful-looking helmet.
I don't mind it as much. Again, I just hate the constant uniform changing. Keep it, please, unless it's going back to the thing that I liked when I was lied to, talking about Washington's. But I don't find that one offensive. I kind of like the brown with a little orange in there.
So here's what's funny, though. So there's several camera people and, like, folks that work for the Browns that have to take what is this giant orange tarp off of this helmet to unveil it. Okay, think about, like, pulling the tarp off of a car. So they're pulling this tarp off of this gigantic helmet that's the size of a small building. And the camera guy who's like backing up to shoot it and get the good footage of it falls off of this little dock into the water.
Come on.
It's so funny.
Come on.
So I'm sitting here watching it. He just runs out of room and this poor guy just falls right in the water. It's unbelievable. So watch this video here.
Okay. So the big giant helmet, he's off to the right as from left to right across
far
your radio
right
dial.
Corner.
And he's trying to get the whole. Oh my God.
Dude, the Browns, man.
He's clearly backing up to try to get the full thing in view.
Right, because it's a giant helmet. Because
it's a big helmet.
3 feet away.
And he's up close. The barge ain't that big. And he takes a step back, and there's nothing to step to except for water. The dude fell in the lake.
I just got a text from my wife. Very rare that my wife
responded to you in any way during the day?
Communicates with me.
How
yes.
about that?
How about that?
Everything's coming up pulsing. Look
no,
at this.
She said, and I quote, "This Terry McLaurin stuff is stressing me out." That's what she said.
Wow.
Someone tell Adam Peters he could take... Let me make sure this is okay. Yep. Someone tell Adam Peters he could take a lot off my plate if he would...
Yeah,
if he would just pay him.
It would? I feel like there's a lot on the plate right now at the Paulson
house.
Apparently
the fourth baby is not stressing around.
Yeah, we're going through it too. We've only got three.
The not sleeping at night, not the problem.
Yeah.
Right? The every 2 hours the baby needs you to eat, that's not the issue.
It's this Terry thing?
The Terry McLaurin situation. But I would say to her, and this is like a good moment to think about that we've got, you know, people listening whose emotions are on the line in some ways. I really don't think it's time to be overly stressed. This is acrimonious, and it has gotten bad. There's no doubt about that.
Yep.
It's not good when your most popular player and most beloved player on the team, not named Jaden Daniels, is angry at you and you're not giving him what he thinks he's worth. And he says he's been devalued and is disrespected and feels like he's been slapped in the face. None of that is fun. But we're not at a point yet where life without Terry McLaurin is imminent. It's way, way, way more likely that he signs tomorrow than that he doesn't sign at all. And it's, I would still say, I don't know where you're at on this, like an 85, 90% chance that a deal gets done at some point during training camp, in my opinion, and that this ends with a press conference where they all act like nothing happened. Because that's how this ends, by the way. When a guy gets a deal, we don't talk about how bad the drive was or the time you bumped into the mailbox or the fact that you scuffed yourself on the car next door. Once you park the car, you just get out and you go inside to the restaurant. How you got there doesn't matter anymore. They're all going to be high-fiving and hugging, and it was just business, and they all love each other again. And Terry and Adam Peters are going to be locked in arms, skipping through the park, two best friends that anyone could ever have, right? I still think we're getting there. So I don't actually think anyone should really be stressing or losing sleep over this just yet.
That's where I'm at.
But I do think it's perfectly reasonable if you're frustrated with the front office for the first time in a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. I think if you're annoyed by Terry's actions, I don't see that quite as much because I think it's business and he's kind of doing exactly what he should do. He deserves to be paid. But if you're unhappy and nervous, understood.
That you just mentioned something that I kind of want to put a pin in because I don't think it's right now. But I said this earlier to doing our hit that we do, each of us with Derek Forrest, DC News Now. And I said, there's going to be a time where I'm very empathetic towards Terry McLaurin or any player that wants to get paid as much as possible in this short window sport where the average career lasts around 3 years. If you got a chance to bite at the apple a couple times, you take it.
You're empathetic. You just don't believe in giving a guy market value necessarily at his age, is what you said yesterday.
Yeah, I'm not angry at him. And I guess that's all I'm talking about at this point. I'm not going, damn it, Terry, you're screwing us. Like some people are going, you're under contract, that's the job. I am nowhere near there. There's going to be a point, though, where that might turn for me. I don't know when that is. It's not now, certainly. But if we start, we're missing preseason games, and now it's like, okay, actually, I need you out on the field because it's
toward
important.
Terry or toward the team?
Towards Terry, where I'm going, hey, it's you've said your piece. You've done your thing.
You'll never turn on the team.
If something comes out that's nefarious and awful, then maybe. But I mean, the way things are going, there's going to be a time where, okay, dude, you made your point. You're under contract for this year.
The only
this year matters
we have
to me.
So far is that they are not offering him market value. Yet and still, your issue is more with Terry than the team.
No, I'm gonna try to say it again. I currently have no issue.
Okay,
there might be a time if we miss two preseason games, and this is still he's posting pictures from a yacht off of Key West. And he's not anywhere close by or something like
that. He didn't do the Trey Hendrickson troll job.
I'm not saying he did, but if in 3 weeks, that's where he is.
I don't think he's going.
I don't either. I'm simply saying there might be a time where I kind of go, okay, that's enough, Terry. So,
but going back to my point,
yeah,
you don't like the word issue. That's fine. You are more on his side than the team's. Excuse me, vice versa. You're more on the team's side than his very, very loudly over the last several days.
Yeah, I would say so.
Even though what the only information we have right now, and it could be wrong, it's one guy's report, but that information is that the offer is not market value. That essentially the team is further off than Terry McLaurin is financially in this negotiation. But that does not change how you feel. And for you, it's an age thing. And essentially, to put words in your mouth, you're saying, I'm never going to pay that kind of money for a guy at his age, basically. Like, the fact that you've been the man for me for a long time is irrelevant.
That's a fraction of my view, but that's certainly part of it.
Those are things you've said.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Yeah, and what is the rest of it?
The rest of it is they have so much advantage in negotiations and the way the CBA is that I understand why they're playing hardball. Like their evaluation, they're not in the business of overpaying this guy because I know he's special. Well, the next guy's going, well, I'm 84% as special as Terry, so now I get extra. Then all of a sudden, You become the organization that overpays.
Well, wait,
I understand this one's special and this one's different to everybody, but it doesn't seem to be to them.
Yeah, my fear is not becoming the organization that overpays. My fear would be becoming the organization that doesn't get viewed around the league as taking care of your guys. The Nationals have become that organization, right? This is very different. It's a salary cap league, but they have the money right now that they need to pay him. They have a great salary cap situation. They don't have a quarterback to pay at this moment. And while you might have to overpay a little bit from what you'd like to take care of the guy that has done more for you and waded through the 500 feet Andy Dufresne style, they're going, we could, but we're not going to. This is the first time this has happened. So 100% of the time, this will have been how they negotiated with their own guys when it was time to take care of their own guys. And so my fear would just be, like, there's a 100% chance in the locker room. Jaden Daniels today said, I'm talking to Terry every single day. Terry at Eastern Motors last week said, I'm talking to players all the time. They agree with me. They're on my side. Not saying they're anti-team, but his point was they all know what I'm doing and why I'm doing this.
Sure.
I promise you they'll take his side over the front office's side. You know, it's not like we're walking around here and talking about our contracts and everyone's like, I think Odyssey's right. I like that they're not, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, of course.
Of course they're going to be on the same side. So that stuff adds up pretty quickly. And that's just in your own locker room, let alone outside with agents talking and players talking. So like would I rather be the team that overpays every now and then or the team that is known as not taking care of their guys? Give me the A, not B every single time on like a binary. But sidetracked a little bit from kind of where we wanted to be here, which is, I guess, related to in some extent what you said. There's a moment in this whole thing where your feelings toward McLaurin could change from, man, I feel bad for this guy, to like, you know what? You could go play somewhere else. What I want to know is, how long does this have to go on before the possibility of a trade actually should be a discussion? Like, I think anybody talking about that yet is putting the cart before the horse.
Agreed.
You're reading the last chapter before you started the book. It's just not necessary. We're not there yet. Terry could come out tomorrow and demand a trade, and now it's time.
Mm-hmm.
But he had the chance to do that at Eastern Motors, and he said, I haven't really thought about that. He and his agent, I'm sure, went over that. Should we demand a trade? If this is going to come up in this press conference, do you want to be traded? How do we want to answer that? They neglected to force the hand and to ask for a trade, yeah? So what is the line in the sand on when a trade becomes something we should even have on the table here or consider?
So for me, it's not till this next offseason. There's no plan B. Had they gotten a plan B? Has there another option internally that could come close to that production? Had they drafted somebody early? With all due respect to Jalen Lane, I'm intrigued about that fourth rounder, but come on. Had they done something more significant there where they had a backup plan at the ready? They need him this year. I'm not trading him this year for future draft picks. If they were going to be terrible, I would say let's do it right now, but they're not going to be. I think they're good. And when you have Jaden Daniels on a rookie deal and you got a team that can be pretty good, you don't start thinking about future assets.
So if he hasn't showed up on the Monday of week one, first practice, game week, leading into the Giants game in 6 days on Sunday, you're still not picking up the phone and seeing what you can get.
I am. The only way I would do it, I guess, to amend that is if he's willing to forego his year of eligibility. You know what I mean? Like if he,
well, he has to show up to accrue the season. That would be several weeks into the year. But now this is not Dan Quinn being asked about it on July 23rd in the tent in Ashburn.
This is like the Friday press conference he's being asked about
this
before
is
the game.
Week one, week two, week three, potentially. Chris Jones of the Chiefs, if you remember, held out until I believe he didn't play in the first game of the season against the Lions a couple years ago on like Thursday Night Football, the opener after they won the Super Bowl. Because he had come back or just signed a day or two before, but he hadn't done anything basically to get into shape as a football player yet. If it's something like that, you're not considering a trade even then.
No, because this year he's under contract for me and he needs to play to get what he wants, and I need him to play to get what I want.
So you're willing, and I don't think this is realistic, but this is just a worst case scenario.
Yeah, this is the doomsday.
Hypothetical. Right. Yeah, this is Armageddon. Yeah. Right.
You've opened up the thing for the switch that says never push this switch, and we're hovering over the switch.
Worst environment imaginable. Worst environment imaginable. It's week three, and Terry McLaurin is just posting Instagram videos where he's doing yoga in Ashburn. And you're 2-1 or 1-2 or whatever it is. And he's going, I'll show up the day I have to show up, and I will make everyone's life miserable. You know, he's not saying that, but that's the way
this is headed. That's the implication.
That is what's happening. Yeah. You're still going, no problem. See you when you get here.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm not playing that game. It's not worth it to me to have a miserable work environment. And I don't think he would, again, I want to just preface this one more time. I don't think this is realistic where he would do this because he's my sweet Terry. But in this worst case scenario, there is a line of demarcation for me. We're not getting that far. I will say after the last preseason game in cutdown day, when you flip the calendar and it's now football time, that first week of the season, if I'm preparing for the New York Giants that week and he's not showing up and he's still telling me I'm not going to be there, we're working the phones. I don't think it's going to get there, but I say all that, I guess, to say there is absolutely a time where I am willing to do that, which is crazy to say out loud.
This from Mark Seagraves from Channel 4. According to sources, Chairman Phil Mendelson is close to announcing a deal with the Commanders that will change some of the financial terms of the Mayor Bowser original deal and open the door for a council vote within days after public hearings. I believe the public hearings are next week. I think they're the 28th and the 29th, or the 29th and the 30th. So that sounds like major progress, at least according to Mark Seagraves, Channel 4. Phil Mendelson close to announcing a deal with the team. I'm sorry.
Saying Bowser is on the Junkies tomorrow in studio, so it could be tied into that.
Mayor Bowser is? Okay, yep. Mayor Bowser is on tomorrow morning with the Junkies. What time?
9 a.m.
9 a.m. So you can hear it right here on the Team 980, the Mayor on with the Junkies tomorrow morning. Also, I saw this tweeted out. Hold on, let me just see. Something about Sam Cosmi. Dan Quinn, I guess, said something this morning that Sam Cosmi. Here it is. Bram tweeted out. Quinn says it's on the table for Cosmi to play in week one. There's no certainty of it, but it's a sign of his recovery from the knee ligament injury, and that it's going very well. All right, 301-230-0980. We will be, you know, pretty much on the air. Now I'm going to have some days off coming up just to give you a heads up. But this show will be on the air a lot of the time that practice is going on and news is coming out. So tune in, every day 10 to 1 on the Team 980 or the team980.com or on our YouTube page, because this is when they're practicing, not every day at this time. And you get a lot of, you know, pressers like Quinn before practice and Jaden Daniels after practice. I think Bobby Wagner is expected to speak as well after practice today. Already the tweets are flying about how great Jaden Daniels looks in 7-on-7, I would imagine. Ben Standing will be with us at noon. All right, the question at 301-230-0980, with us officially in this, you know, for the lack of a better description, stalemate, standoff, deadlock between Terry and the team. Whose side are you on? Team Terry or team front office. I do have a Twitter poll up at Kevin Sheehan DC on X on Twitter if you want to check it out. Right now, pretty tight, 52.8% Team Terry, 47.2% Team Front Office, with over 400 votes already in. What do you say on the phone lines? 301-230-0980. Ian, go ahead.
First of all, I believe a deal will be done. Both sides tend to benefit from this. The team does not have an adequate replacement. They did not draft somebody. There's nobody in line. I don't think Deebo Samuel is a viable option. So I think both sides need this deal to be done. But in terms of your question, I am Team Terry. His resume as a Washington Commander, Redskin football player, speaks for itself. Adam Peters, as general manager, has some hits and has some misses. His hits in the draft are Jaden, obvious. Mikey Sanders, still obvious. There's some TBDs or misses in the draft.
All the rest of them are TBDs. You don't evaluate a draft after one season. Even you wouldn't do that.
Sure. His free agent acquisitions, Luvu, Wagner hits.
Ertz, Eckler hits.
I don't know if
Armstrong, kind of a hit. Factor.
To me, to chin, be a hit, you've got to be chin a pro a hit. Bowler. No, again, my criteria to be a hit is to make a Pro Bowl team. They didn't do that.
Oh, really?
And then his misses. Yeah.
You don't sign every free agent with the idea that they're going to make a Pro Bowl.
Sure, but I'm
especially
saying
with the deals that they paid out, they were almost all low offer short term deals.
Sure, but again, I'm Marcus Mariota resume, and he again, I wouldn't. Would you call?
I mean, the list keeps going on. Ian Allegretti started every game last year. Tyler Biadasz.
Come on, man. Kevin, we all
he did very well in free agency last year.
Kevin, we all understand they made the NFC title game on the back of Jaden Daniels.
That's a different subject.
If you're looking at his free agent acquisitions and you're doing a resume, you would say his hits are obviously Luvu and Wagner. They made the Pro Bowl. They were all pro players.
Biadasz was a hit. Sure. I mean, if we're talking about hits, Tyler Biadasz was significant last year. Okay. Significant. Austin Eckler, I'm not sure they looked better in the backfield than when Eckler was out there. Zach Ertz was so significant last year in clutch situations, in big games.
You're underselling
the free agency class of 2024 for Adam Peters and company. Underselling
it. A lot of those guys are just guys. If Zach Ertz wasn't on the team.
Back to your point. Believing in Terry and taking Terry's side is totally reasonable. I'm not knocking that at all. But my reasons wouldn't be that I'm not really sold yet on Adam Peters because of his free agent class last year. It only produced two hits. That's just not true.
Again, when I'm evaluating Peters, he doesn't have enough of a resume here for me to take his side over Terry.
Fair enough.
He does have a resume here.
Right. Yeah, look, that's fair. 1 year, just like you can't evaluate a draft in 1 year, it's hard to evaluate a general manager in 1 year. But I went in, as you know, in sort of survival benefit of the doubt mode, because it's like, finally, we can live a little bit here. And year one was not disappointing, clearly. But it's only 1 year, to your point. And this is the first big contract situation he has had as a general manager in his career. So let's see what happens. I mean, you know, he'll get judged a little bit on this, no doubt, but no bigger judgment was going to be made on Adam Peters than the first draft choice he made, because that was the most crucial towards the team's future. And we all believe, even though it's only been a year, that he got that one right. Thank you, Ian. Let's go to Robert in Annapolis. Robert, Team Terry or Team Front Office on this?
Well, thanks for taking my call, Kevin. But sure. I don't have a side in this, but if I did, I would never want my GM to capitulate to a player's demands. That's the Vinny Serrato method of being a GM. So here's the things that are fair certainties. They're not going to pay him $30 million a year, because if they were, they'd already have done that. And they probably don't want to guarantee him serious coin after the next 2 years because of the quarterback situation. So they're at a standstill. You know where this could wind up? Trent Williams situation.
No.
Remember that?
No, there was bad blood between Trent Williams and Dan and Bruce.
But Trent Williams sat out the 2019 season. It's not a very good financial move for a player to do that. But McLaurin may be so principled that he may actually do that. I actually think he's going to play under his current contract, because I don't think they're going to come to an agreement, and it wouldn't make sense for him to do otherwise. So I think that's probably how it's going to wind up. And one quick thing I want to add on the waiving of fines, that applies to veteran players who have signed a second contract. I believe if a player is still on a rookie contract, the fines can be waived, but don't hold me to that. But I believe that's what that CBA specified. But anyhow.
Okay, I think you've got time left on your deal, if you're a free agent, you're a free agent. Obviously, you're not signed by anybody. But you just actually brought up something, because I think this is
gave
me an idea for another segment. Go ahead.
You could have a player on a rookie deal coming into the fourth year, depending upon what round he was drafted in. They could sit out, and the team would have the authority, if they signed a deal, to waive those fines. That's my understanding of how it works. But not like in McLaurin. He signed a second contract. So if he's under contract, remember Trent Williams, some of them are on the tag. When they're on the tag, that would also apply. But anyhow, I'll shut up now so your friend in Virginia can come in and talk about soft tissue injuries.
Thank you, buddy. Yeah, here, holdouts come at a hefty cost. Players are fined $50,000 for each day they hold out. Previously, teams could waive those fines, but the loophole was closed under the current collective bargaining agreement, which was ratified in March of 2020. Now, and I think this was what Robert was talking about, only players on rookie contracts can get that relief. Thank you, Robert, for that. Let's go to Billy. Billy, are you Team Terry or Team Front Office?
Kevin, good morning. First thing I'd say is shout out, Godspeed to the Prince of Darkness. That was a hell of a good run he had as a rock and roll performer.
I was not a huge Black Sabbath guy or a big Ozzy guy, but I certainly have friends, including one of my sons who's a musician, who was definitely into it. So, rest in peace. 76, too young. But he lived a hard, fast life, that's for sure.
His body was 140, they said.
Yeah.
You know what Ozzy would have said? Nobody knows, because nobody can understand him. Listen, our friends in Baltimore, I just reminded him he'd have three more Super Bowls if he would have kept Flacco as a quarterback. Terry is, in gangster terms, and we're all fans of the gangster movie genre, this is a made guy here. And you don't mess with a made guy. And Adam is messing up. And this is the first time, and they did a heck of a job last year, NFC Championship, would have won the Super Bowl if they didn't turn the ball over four times against Philly. He's a made guy. You don't mess with a made guy. That's the bottom line. And he should have found a way to get him paid. I mean, $15 million this year, if any of us were in that position where we're at the top of our craft and looking at other players who are making twice as much money as we are, you'd have to find a way as the front office to get the guy signed. And this is the first real, outside of not changing the names, which is just idiocy. They got to change the team name. It's the first real chink in the armor in the first year. They got everything else basically right, and that just to remind the fans.
Who is, you've already got Jaden as the greatest of all time and a first ballot Hall of Famer. For you, if they don't get a deal done with Terry, are you going to be impacted at all when the season starts?
You know, Kevin, just to remind, and great the question, three games, 14 catches, 227 yards, and three touchdowns in the playoffs. That guy was a playoff baller. I think that's important. I'm not going to be affected, dude. All I know is that at the end of the year, when the time comes, have great cultures. And this is not good for the culture. This is bad for the culture. And I loved the culture last year. I thought they all played hard. I was proud of the team as a team. The Commander's name's dumbest in history. But outside of that, I hope it doesn't mess with the culture, because that's a team.
I bet it doesn't. Billy, I bet it doesn't.
As a pro.
I'm not saying that people aren't going to be upset that Terry's not there, but Terry's going to be there. Terry is going to be there. He's playing for this team in 2025. If they trade him or he holds out when regular season games begin, I will be so much more shocked than I was that he didn't at least show up and hold in yesterday. I just don't see that happening. You can't trade him at this point. You're not going to get enough back. Thank you,
Adam's
Billy.
Riding a crazy train right now. That's all I'll say. Adam's riding a crazy train.
I don't think so. I trust that they know what they're doing. And again, for us to be definitive one side or the other without knowing what the team has offered and what Terry's asking for and what that delta really is, that's kind of crazy town, because we're going to do this and we're going to have our hunches and our feels for this, but we don't have enough information. Like, if the team offered, you know, let's just say the team was down in, you know, hold on, let me pull up the list. You know, they're down there in the, you know, Nico Collins range of about $24 million. By the way, Nico Collins is really good. Like, he's going to be, I think he's on his way to becoming a star. Let's just say they offered him less than T. Higgins got, okay? T. Higgins would be a number one on a lot of teams. He may have the best hands in football, but he's a number two in Cincinnati. He's still got an average annual of $28.75 million per season. If they're under T. Higgins at, say, $28 or $27 million, I could see why Terry, who wants a DK Metcalf deal at $32 to $33 million, is like, are you kidding me? You can't at least get up to something that starts with a three? But again, I trust that they know what they're doing. I do. But we don't know what the number is for the team. We don't know what the number is for Terry. And we don't know where both of those sides would feel comfortable settling on. You know, sometimes when you make that first offer and the other side comes back and it is way off, you're just in, dude, we need you to come back to reality so that we can negotiate in better faith. I don't know that that's it. I'm just throwing out one scenario, meaning that the team, you know, didn't even counter the counter because they felt like it was completely off base. All right, stay on hold. I see everybody there. Team Terry or team front office? Terry is officially a holdout. This thing has reached an impasse. We are in standoff, standstill, whatever you want to say, territory. Of course, it could end by this afternoon, too. So keep it locked here on the Team 980 all day long. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
All right, so I got to tell you, I thought Terry McLaurin would have signed by now. Back when we started talking about this.
Yeah.
Months ago, really, I figured since the last time when he had his mini camp skip and all that stuff,
he signed
on July 6th.
Yeah,
I thought it was going to be a similar timeline.
Yeah. Well, this is clearly more complicated with different people running the team.
Valdez, do you have our predictions written down that we did a week or 10 days ago?
I think I know them.
July 30th.
He's July 30th. You're August 3rd, and I'm August 8th.
I don't know who to believe, because Jeremy Fowler says they're not close with the numbers, and then Ian Rappaport is going on his Twitter saying they're going to come to an agreement on a deal in the next few days. Who do I believe?
I have you cakes you down for August 16th.
That seems like a long time.
I think that was
seems like a long way off.
I thought you were ahead of me.
I thought I was like August 1 to August 3rd.
I had the 8th, the 30th, and the 16th. And then July 24 was Grant's.
I generally trust your record keeping, so we'll just, I guess that's true.
All right, well, you might be closer
than us. I don't know who to believe. I don't know. I'm completely flummoxed with the Terry McLaurin thing.
I would lean on Breer over Fowler for some reason.
I probably would too, but I would lean more on.
But I don't think Fowler just makes stuff up.
I would lean more on Rappaport if that stooge Ron Rivera was still running.
Why do you say Fowler? He said Rappaport.
Well, Fowler, here's Fowler chiming in.
Things stand between the Commanders and Terry McLaurin.
Well, Terry McLaurin, Courtney. He remains frustrated. They have not had meaningful conversations on a deal in a while. I checked with Washington. They have no plans to trade Terry McLaurin. They do want him there long term. The question is, are they willing to meet this market that's gotten crazy where players are making $30 plus million a year at the receiver position? My sense is they're just not even close to that there, and McLaurin senses that, which is why he's speaking out publicly. So they have a big gap they got to try to fill here. But it looks like he's going to be a Commander regardless. They got to try to shake this out here soon.
I think when he says that, he's obviously saying they're not going to trade him, and he's got a contract, and he's not going to sit out. What's he do to make $20 million this year or whatever? He's not going to sit out.
I don't know if he has any new information.
Yeah, because
he's doing a national report.
He had nothing.
On a national level,
most of those guys have nothing.
On a national level, they're not following Eastern Motors.
He had nothing.
Right.
Yeah. He said it was his instinct.
No, but Fowler was the one from the beginning who was way ahead of this and said that he was disgruntled and disappointed.
Okay.
Way before anyone else knew that.
Okay, but currently he had nothing.
So if you had to choose between Cakes makes an option, you got to choose between Fowler and Albert Breer. Drab, who are you siding on? You're a Fowler guy.
I guess I'm siding with Fowler.
Yeah, but I credit him for initially reporting it, but I don't think anything new.
I don't think I'm with you.
I just feel like Rappaport's more plugged in. I just trust him more.
One, they're probably talking
for whatever reason.
I mean,
but you mentioned Breer.
The fact that last week he said,
I think it was Rappaport.
We haven't even spoken in a month.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, look, anything can happen over the course of a day or two or three. You know, they can meet in the middle. But when you haven't spoken to your employer in a month about a contract, doesn't sound like they're that close. But we don't know the numbers. We have no idea what the numbers are. If Fowler is right that Washington's not near $30 million a year and they're at 25, that's probably going to take a while.
The thing that has thrown me the entire time is of all the people, literally all the people in D.C., all the people on this team, you're going to make some weird financial stand on. Like a few, relatively speaking, what did he buy the team for, $6 billion?
Yep, $6.05 billion.
I mean, I know it sounds crazy, but a couple million dollars here and there, and I know there's salary cap implications. This is the guy, the heart and soul of the team, the guy everybody loves. He's like literally, even if some people don't think he's that great, they all respect him as a human being. And this is the guy you're going to take a stand on? I don't see it.
Seems peculiar.
I think eventually the Commanders are just going to come correct. And even if it means overpaying them a little bit. Right. Sometimes you do that. That's what happens in sports. Guys get overpaid. They don't live up to their contracts. I think he probably will. But sometimes you risk overpaying guys.
Look, if Adam Peters is having sticker shock because the number is going to start with a 3, get over it. That's the going rate for a top wideout in the league. Now, am I saying he deserves Ja'Marr Chase money where he's making $40 million? No. But I feel like he's proven enough, especially with the season he posted last year, with finally a good quarterback throwing him the ball, that he probably deserves something in the vicinity of a $30 million+ deal.
I'm not saying give him a Strasburg deal.
No, it doesn't have to be a 5 or 6 year deal.
Yeah,
give him a 2 to 3 year extension and let's get it done. Because you're going to get it done eventually.
I know I've been saying this for weeks. There's still time.
Plenty of time. There is.
Understood.
I know the camp starts. Guys are in camp today and tomorrow, and camp starts this week. But he doesn't have to be there. And maybe he will be there. I don't know. But he doesn't have to be there playing at the opening of camp. There's still time.
I was thinking about this as I was driving in this morning. And I'm sorry I don't have Adam Peters' complete bio memorized. But am I wrong? Did he start out with the Patriots?
Yes, he was with the Patriots.
So maybe there's a little of the Belichick influence there.
I was trying to sort this out.
I'm sure there is.
That Belichick influence where Belichick would try to get rid of a guy or not pay a guy late in his career, try to stay ahead of that curve. I mean, hell, he got rid of Tom Brady. There's probably some of that influence in there.
I'm sure there's some of that residue in his brain.
It's weird if this is the guy you're going to make a stand on.
It's also weird that they're making a stand on age when they bring back Bobby Wagner, they bring back Zach Ertz. Like, they've leaned in on some of these old guys.
Eckler, yeah, but those are one-year deals. Eckler's up there. I mean, maybe not to the extent of Wagner and Ertz, but he's
Von Miller,
older running
back.
But
they only gave him $1 million or $1.5 million.
Mm-hmm. No, they gave Miller more than that. They gave him like 6.1.
Yeah, the original reporting was wrong.
Yeah, 6.1. He can make up to $10 million with the
incentives. All right, so $6 million. All right.
But still.
And that would make more sense.
Yeah.
But unless the McLaurin camp is just asking for an outrageous number.
Which they could be.
They could be
going in asking for $36 million per year. And if that's the case, then I could see why Adam Peters and his henchmen are balking at it. We're not going to give you $36 million.
If they're asking for mid-30s, mid to high 30s, right. Then, and I don't think McLaurin and his agent would be that stupid. Maybe they are.
Maybe,
I don't know.
Maybe they're shooting for Justin Jefferson type of money, AAV-wise.
Yeah.
Maybe not term, but per year.
Just give him the AAV that's reasonable and shorten the term and be done with it.
Just give him like the DK Metcalf deal and shave a year off the end of it. And let's get this thing done.
It's so weird. This is the guy that they're going to risk pissing off and risk losing a little public sentiment. It's just weird.
Well, look how pissed TJ Watt was and all the reports. How many times was he on a potential trade list?
Up Miles Garrett was.
Yeah, I mean, they're all getting traded. They're all pissed off.
99 times out of 100, it works out. We've been through this long enough.
They signed a ridiculous contract.
We're not naive, but it's just wild that I think it's safe to say that it's been more acrimonious than anybody had anticipated.
They have said they have no intentions of trading him, so you can feel good about that.
Yeah.
It's just going to take some time.
I know he's going to suit
up. Will happen this week.
Next four days.
I'm out on this one. This has gone way longer.
We had Rick Snyder on the last hour, and he seemed to think that he's going to get done before training camp.
Jason, does it happen this week?
This week? No.
I'm upping my timeline. It happens this week.
I don't even know what your timeline is.
I don't know.
He's got to use August 16th.
I'm all over the map.
They report tomorrow, right? And then they hit the field in a few days later.
Wednesday.
Tomorrow would be a perfect time to announce it because he misses nothing.
I just want to see the numbers.
You know what? A perfect time to announce it would be right about now. Because we can ride it through the rest of this show and through tomorrow's show. Please announce it now. Please announce the extension.
It's so weird.
Please play the breaking news sounder at some point soon.
Has he changed anything on his Instagram?
I'm not keeping up with his Instagram.
I need to check.
All right. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. Coming up next, Nikki Javala from the Washington Post.
Jaden Daniels just spoke to the media. If you haven't heard of him, he's the Commander's starting quarterback, offensive rookie of the year, Heisman Trophy winner. Frankie Louvu just told me 5 is the truth, which I think is a pretty accurate sentence. Jaden got asked about Terry McLaurin missing day one of training camp, and he said, whenever that time comes and he's back on the field, I don't think we'll miss a beat.
They probably won't.
Sound about right to you?
I'm with that.
Yeah, I think so too. Now, Landfill's got some audio for us to listen to. This, I believe, is Peter Schrager from Good Morning Football, right? Talking about the Terry McLaurin situation. Why don't you get us going here, Professor Landini?
Yeah, Adam had his press conference this morning and was very top line. We want Terry in camp. We appreciate Terry. These conversations are ongoing. But let's really peel the onion back here. This has been the first piece of adversity in Adam Peters, Dan Quinn, and Josh Harris's entire tenure when it comes to the football team on the field, where there's actually an unhappy player with his contract. And this one's tough because McLaurin is the bridge from the dark days of what this organization was before these guys took over and before Jaden Daniels got there. And he was Jaden's number one guy and has done everything you could possibly ask for from a veteran wide receiver. In fact, he wore the C as a wide receiver, which is pretty rare, as the captain of the team, and is beloved. And Cliff loves him, and DQ loves him. All those guys love him. He's got a year left on his contract. He's looking at the numbers and saying, wait a second, I am not being paid what I'm deserved. That said, in a similar way as Trey Hendrickson, you look at the age, you look at the budget, you look at where we're going. They didn't account for an unhappy Terry McLaurin and a potential holdout from Terry McLaurin. They went and they got Deebo Samuel for a year. They got Laremy Tunsil. They went all in on those veterans thinking, okay, last year we put this together with a bunch of veteran pieces and we got lucky with a couple rookies and it worked out. It was great. Now we're going to ascend and we're going to go for it. Well, you can't go for it without Terry McLaurin on the field.
So I've been saying this a few different times. This is the first time for Harris and AP and DQ to try to get through a high-profile contract extension.
Yeah.
And I think because of that, they're probably going to be a little more judicious than maybe people are expecting. And because of the nature of the business, maybe Terry wants 34. And they're like, dude, we can't go over 30. Like, eventually you'd think rubber meets road and they figure this out, but I think you heard Dan Quinn, the head coach of the football team, say it today. Do I wish he was here? Yes. Is this the normal business of football? Yes. Like,
head coaches think totally differently than a GM.
Oh, they have to.
Yeah.
Their job is to win every game.
So
AP has a much broader job.
Totally. He would want him here, but I think the one thing that you got to be careful with that age thing. And, you know, Terry got more pissed at that than anything.
That was the one, yeah.
Debo's 29. Tunsil came in here, and you traded for him. He's 30 or 31, right? So you can't say one person's age when you bring somebody else in at the same level. And I think when you look at the production that Terry has put out and Debo's put out, Debo had one unbelievable year, but he's not truly a receiver. He's a gadget guy in a sense. He can do multiple things. Terry has consistently been a damn good receiver for you. And there, like Gary Clark stated, there shows nowhere where there's been drop off. So you can't just automatically, and I know people, I said it when I was playing, and I've been out of football now for 21, 22 years. You had to stop saying people at 30. Oh, he's 30 now. Who gives a damn? And I think it's something that media still pushes out there. When guys are playing beyond 30 every day, even with all this money out here. You know, my man Watt just got signed with Steelers. He's 30 or more, right? So I think that old narrative needs to leave, because we talk about people coming in now, they're better and in better shape. They have more technology, all this stuff. If you know more to keep them playing better, why the hell are you still using the prehistoric excuse? And I know what they say. Oh, look at the analytics, and it shows this, it shows that. No, ownership and general managers use that as an excuse, and they stop signing guys, stop wanting to sign guys for the money they're worth once they hit 30 years old, so they don't play more, or they begin to use them less, and it looks like they're dropping off. If you actually play those guys more, they can still do the things they were doing the year before, 2 years before, but the teams don't utilize them like that anymore. And that makes the stats look how they want.
Didn't that happen to you? Didn't you get off to a hot start and then they stopped giving you carries or something?
They tried to not let me make an incentive. You know, that's what that was about. So it's all types of things. But I love, like, analytics don't work unless you put numbers in. And if you're putting the numbers in that you want to put in, you're going to get the results you want. Point blank.
Yeah, it's like whenever you deal with lawyers that – like, if you deal with lawyers that work for a company, you know what that lawyer's going to find is the answer that the company wants.
100%.
Like, oh, you know, legally, we got to worry about this, so we shouldn't do it. Or, yeah, you know, the CEO wants this done, so here's the path to getting it done. Like, you can point to, whatever numbers you want.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, just... Now, obviously, Terry's looking to make a lot more money, and when that money would hit, he would be about to turn 31.
Okay.
But I don't think the way I think this actually gets done, it's going to be guaranteed money when Terry's 31 and 32 years old. And by everything I've seen on Terry McLaurin, I don't expect any sort of fall off because he's 31 or 32. Do you?
No, not at all. I mean, and that's the thing about it. Like, see, this is the thing.
But at the same time, I'm not mad at AP.
Why is it?
For running his football ops.
I'm not mad for doing it, yeah. But why is it that analytics is always used to predict when somebody's going to drop off, but it's not used to predict when someone is going to continue to be. Like, is it not possible? It does analytics only work for the negative show? Show me what's going to happen negatively in the future? Does it show me anything about what's possibilities of what can happen positive? See, I know it's what the world is today. But just like in anything, I've always asked questions.
But I also think
I just want to know.
The notion of a drop-off, the notion of regression. Mm-hmm. Terry had 13 touchdowns last year, right? Mm-hmm. What if he has 8? Is that a drop-off?
But see,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
you know why it'll be a drop-off to a lot of people, Jay? People only look at the numbers. And analytics look at the numbers. We talk to Neil Greenberg all the time.
We're about to talk to him again.
And Neil basically says, you don't add in, you know, the situation and circumstances of anything. You just put the numbers in. And numbers only don't tell me any damn thing. Because as a former athlete, I know what they thought about me, my size, and what I could do. Everything I did was way above what the hell they thought could happen. Why? Because I had an internal drive that a damn analytics can't tell me S about. You understand? And a lot of people, Terry McLaurin, has that internal drive that analytics can't tell you nothing about. And that's why I get so pissed off at it, because we always go about, well, the analytics say this. Who gives a damn what the analytics say? That dude right there, if I put two guys with the exact same analytical output, but one guy is a dog and the other one, he likes to take it easy. That dude, that's a dog, gonna whip his ass on a consistent basis. So when analytics can add that to it, then maybe it will just run the world for me. But right now, I think a lot of people that played the game that understand that aspect of having a dog mentality, they balk at that crap.
Neil Greenberg joins us next.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I haven't decided that yet. I'm trying to take things day by day. And, I think that's the disappointing part, where I was hoping up until this point things would clear up a lot more than they have. And so I haven't made that decision yet. And I'm just going to see how the rest of this week goes and take it day by day and go from there.
That was Terry McLaurin on whether or not he'd be showing up for training camp. We now know he has not. By the way, Jay Gruden was the head coach of the then Redskins when they drafted McLaurin. We're going to talk to him coming up in 25 minutes. He's a big Terry McLaurin guy. Want to get his thoughts on just how surprised he is with a guy that does everything the right way, the anti-diva. I know it's just business, Danny, but he is a no-show. He is holding out. Show's brought to you today and every day by the law firm Kondori & Murad. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today, kmlawyers.com, and be sure to tell them we sent you. You'll get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Answer this for me.
Uh-huh.
Why is he not holding in? To me, that seems like the really easy way to show that you're mad, to continue to push for your contract. You're still not practicing. They're still paying the price for not paying you. You don't have to incur a $50,000 fine. You don't have to worry about the fine. You get to be there with your buddies, and you're still kind of agitating and dragging your feet and throwing your temper tantrum. Isn't that the best of all worlds here?
I would think so. But again, this is as dramatic a move as you can make. And you don't make the most dramatic move that you can make without trying to illustrate something, which is we're far apart, that we're not close. And this isn't, you know, it's part of the process that the team is selling. You're trying to sell a different version of that based on what you said publicly, what your agent has leaked out, and so on and so forth. They are very far apart, and he wants everyone to know that. That's if you're there at training camp, you don't run a couple routes. It to me feels more imminent. You're on the same page, and everything feels hunky-dory, and it's a matter of time. This doing it this way lets you know it ain't a matter of time unless they change.
Mitch Tischler said this is the most frustrated he's been with this team in some time. I would say during this ownership's era. The Josh Harris, Mitchell Rails, Mark Ein, Magic Johnson ownership group, the Hogs as we call them. Certainly the Peters era, the Dan Quinn now going into year two span. This is the first time as a fan I think you're going to see a lot of people that are frustrated with business and the operation. Am I surprised? Absolutely. I'm shocked that we're here based on just months ago, weeks ago. As of 5-6 days ago, it certainly felt like this was possible. As soon as he did what he did at Eastern Motors,
yeah.
I thought, damn, that guy sounds like a guy that's not showing up for training camp. Mm-hmm. Today, when Peters came out and kind of towed the company line and essentially said, we haven't talked to him, I knew right then, okay, he's not showing up. Because I feel like if they had a positive conversation, then maybe he's going to be there. But he didn't say he told us he's coming. He said, we expect everybody on our team to be here.
Yeah, very distinct.
Okay, then he's not going to be here. So that was kind of when I started to think about it. But I just always thought you could hold in. But as you said, that almost makes it seem like you're not as mad.
Yeah.
This is the way you show.
I'm as mad as I can be. Silent treatment.
I'm not going to show up at your house and give you the cold shoulder. I'm just not coming to your thing. That's a little bit different.
Yeah.
800-636-1067 is the number. I want to get into if and when maybe he thinks about asking for a trade and how much that could change things. Because I've never for one second even considered the possibility that they would trade him. This is a team, by the way, that should have designs on winning playoff games.
Yeah.
Because it was a championship game last year in the conference.
The window to do that is long past. I mean, a future draft pick is delightful. That doesn't help you with a window that's right now. You know what I mean? Like, let's say for the sake of argument, you wouldn't. But you get a first in 2026. Cool. I don't have my number one wide receiver in the 2025 season.
Yeah, now Debo gets hurt and Luke McCaffrey and
Jalen,
you
know, Lane.
Jay Osborne are running routes for you.
Is Jameson Crowder still available?
Go get him, Jaden. Let's go to Brian in Greenbelt. How are you, Brian?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Brian.
Hey, look. As simple as this, man. Apparently, Terry McLaurin is not in Adam Peters' plans at that price that he wants. And it's just as simple as that. I mean, I'm sure Terry McLaurin is treated with love and respect, just like all the other players, because it's a good coaching staff and it's a good ownership group. And the team, it's a nice, good team spirit. Everybody's getting along very well. But I don't see the fans up in arms because Deami Brown, he's the guy we drafted. I don't see the teams up in arms because Jonathan Allen got let go. I don't see all that. I'm leaving the team if Terry McLaurin doesn't get paid. Look, apparently,
Allen didn't have a six-year run as one of the more productive players in the league at his position, isn't coming off a career year, and isn't the fan favorite of the last decade. I mean, you have to acknowledge that this is different than just guys that have played on this team.
Exactly. If you don't put up the numbers, the fans don't give a damn about you. You can go jump off a bridge. Look. And it just, why are we so wrapped up in what he makes? That's his money. That's his personal money.
Thank you for the call.
Thanks.
I don't really know what that means because
it's a salary cap situation, and we're talking about what's best for the football team, and there's a pretty dramatic
gap. We're wrapped up because currently he's not on the team actively because he wants more money than the team is willing to give him. So until we know what those numbers are and he signs a new contract, he's saying, I'm not going to play for the team, and he's the best wide receiver and arguably the best skill position player on the team, and you've got a second-year quarterback who needs him on the field. That's why people care, because they care about the football team. Let's go to Saint in D.C. on Grant and Danny. What's up?
Not much, man. I honestly think that Terry and his representation are the main corporates here and the main people to blame. I think that the focus for Terry should have been trying to get an extension last year versus going into his final year having no guaranteed money. I think that Terry was hesitant on forcing that extension because he didn't know what they were going to have at quarterback. But at the same token, you now put yourself in a situation where you are now begging for a deal. Like, it's down to you really asking for a trade at this point, because Washington has no reason to force themselves to extend you. Now that we're entering training camp, you're going to be accruing a $50,000 fine per day, then $800,000 plus per preseason game or regular season game miss. Like, Washington holds all the leverage here to force you to play on your final year of your contract. The best that they could do for you is guarantee you this final year, and you'll enter free agency going into the season turning 31. It's like Terry has to stop.
The team's got all the leverage.
Yeah.
Good phone call, by the way. Really good call. The team is wearing the big boy pants here, and Terry's kind of got a read and react and adjust accordingly. I mean, that is how this goes. You've talked about this. Unless there's a change to the CBA right now, the power is really with the teams. And it's always going to be in some way because they call the shots. I want to get to the trade thing that he brought up, though. He has not asked for a trade. Darius, see if you can find the clip from Eastern Motors, Your Job's Your Credit, where he's asked about a trade and like, would he consider pushing for one?
I wonder if that hasn't come up because the team maybe already said, don't bother. We got you.
But that wouldn't keep him from saying it publicly if he was actually willing to want to move on. Hmm. Here's why I think he hasn't. This is my own guess. I think he's been very careful. Like, his image is probably important to him. You don't operate as clean and impressively and do everything the right way. It's a pain in the ass to be Cal Ripken Jr. and to be revered as this, like, perfect guy.
Yeah.
Right? Like, his image, and this is not a knock. I hope it doesn't sound that way. This is actually, in a world where nobody cares or thinks about these types of things, decorum and decency, like, I think it matters to him, and I love that. It's what makes him one of my favorite people that I've ever covered or been around. But I think asking for a trade leads to some fan venom. I think that's kind of like the shot across the bow of, I don't want to be there.
Yeah, I want to leave you.
Everything he has said is, I want to be there. They won't give me the money. As a fan, you hear, I just want to go out and play for you guys. I just want to go catch touchdowns with Jaden Daniels. They won't let me. All I want to do is stay here for my whole career, and they're not paying me. I can't wait to get to training camp. It's their fault I'm not there. That's very different than trade my ass.
That's a great point. Because
I want money, and I don't care if it's from you or somebody else. Pay me my money.
Yeah, especially given what he's already gone through. You know, the amount of Heinicke, Howell, Brissett, and everything in between that he's waded through to put up numbers for you, the fan. If he does that and says, now I want to be traded, given what he's already gone through, you could see how much more impact that might have, both, you know, for people vilifying the team and also maybe vilifying him.
Do you think that he would actually miss preseason games or, God forbid, regular season games? Like, I can start by saying I don't think there's any way in the world he misses regular season games. There's just no way.
Preseason games, yes. I actually think that's likely.
They have won in 17 days.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll play in that game because either he'll have shown up into camp and is still getting up to speed or because, like, they'll hold him out or whatever. But in 17 days, has he not signed? I guess that's what I'm asking.
Yeah. That's what I mean. I've thought.
I think he will sign before then.
So I've said after. And again, what I based this on, I hadn't even considered your he's not, or they don't think he's as good as we think he is theory. Which
I think is reality.
Which makes some sense. But to me, this has always been, what do they do in San Francisco? Either the regular season for Bosa, late in this whole process for Ayuk, for Purdy, for Trent Williams, for. Same thing in Detroit, where it was, you know, late July that it got done with Amon-Ra St. Brown and others. If you've got a high-profile player that's been someplace for a while, that's put up some stuff, this is necessarily complicated. I mean, what I've always thought is, if you walked in at the end price, right? Let's say it's Grant McLaurin and I'm Danny Peters. And I go, hey, at the end of the day, we're going to pay Grant $30.5 million. I'm just making that number up. Let's call it 30 even. If I walked in and talked to your agent, we're going to pay Grant 30. The agent goes, oh, that's their starting point. 36, and now you're at the same impasse you always were. You're going to be in an impasse no matter what, where that guy wants more and you want to give him less. You can't go down from 30. So I've always thought this is going to take a while. It's going to be painstaking. It's going to be a pain in the butt. This, to me, was always kind of inevitable once we went down this road.
But it doesn't have to. There are so many players like him that get deals done well ahead of even the offseason. Like the lifer player, the Mr. whatever fill in the team, he's Mr. Commander, right? He's the Lieutenant Commander. Mr. Raven or Mr. Jed or Mr. Bill. It doesn't go this way most of the time with whoever that guy is whose face is the first one that comes up for the team. And that's going to be Jaden Daniels. And maybe it already is just because of the year he had last
quarterback,
year. But you understand the symbolism of what I'm talking about. Is that Terry has been the fan favorite for years. And a lot of teams just avoid this altogether from a sheer PR standpoint. Because it's not worth it to haggle over a couple of million bucks on your salary cap, which is $200+ million you get to dole out every year. A couple of million bucks in guaranteed or dead money. And they eat dead money like I eat Thin Mints in the spring when Girl Scouts are outside of Food Lion. A couple million dollars is worth this? Really? And I can promise you it isn't to me, but they say otherwise. I agree with you. Preseason games are so irrelevant that maybe he misses those. In the same way that he's not going to truly miss training camp. I'm sure it's killing him to not be around his team. Mm-hmm. But sweating and running around on the field at this point of his career at almost 30, isn't that fun? There's just no way he misses regular season time. I refuse to believe that. Like, you walk back
because that's
the door,
not just a $50K fine. That's now you're escalating things, right? Even worse,
over $500,000.
Yeah,
but the preseason games are too. Mm-hmm. That's my point. I mean, it's several hundred thousand dollars for preseason games if you're missing those. So that's why a couple weeks from now, I'm saying that's when I would just start the hold-in. Like, you could do this to send your message, and then a week or 10 days from now, you show up and say I'm holding in, and you're just not participating, but you're there at least.